You can clap your hands to this one. Let's see you clap some hands. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Praise God. It's good to have you back this evening for another time in the presence of the Most High God. Father, we are thankful for your presence. We're thankful for the authority accorded us by the word of your decree. Lord, O God, without you, we are helpless. Without you, we are hopeless. Without your help, Lord, O God, we are done. But we have this blessed assurance that you will never leave us nor forsake us. This blessed assurance that you see us, you know us. You are aware of every single detail. Nothing misses your view. And so, in the security of knowing that we have a Father who loves us eternally, we can be certain that no evil shall befall us. We can be certain that even when the enemy thinks he's got us cornered, that your grace sufficient causes us to live the life of a fulfilled destiny. Nothing missing, nothing broken, all things whole, because you are the Prince of Peace, and your peace guards our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. This weekend is the beginning of the feast called Purim, and this morning I began sharing with us about some things about Purim, which is basically lots. It's interesting that it's called the Feast of Purim, and it was mandated that the Jews were to celebrate it every year. And the time of Purim falls right now in March and sometimes in April. Purim starts at the end of Adar, the month called Adar, and the beginning of the month called Nisan. Nisan is the Hebrew month that actually starts the year. Now, we know that we talk about Rosh Hashanah in September, but Nisan in the calendar is the first month, and Nisan to Adar. Okay. This morning, I shared something with us about the fact that there was a man called Haman who hated the people of God. And he had reason to do so. He had a history with the Jews way before Esther and Mordecai came into the scene. Well, at the time when King Saul was king, and Saul was the son of Kish. Actually, even though I didn't reference that this morning, maybe I should start from there and start from 1 Samuel chapter 9. I'm going to read verse 1 and verse 3, and then I'm going to skip up to verse 10. 1 Samuel 9, 1. He says, now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish. There was a man of what? Benjamin, whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zerah, the son of Bechorah, the son of Aphir, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man, and a goodly, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. Not only was he handsome, he was tall. He was taller than anybody else, so you could see him. He was a very special young man. And the Bible says, and the eyes of Kish Saul's father were lost. And Kish said to Saul his son, take now one of the servants with thee, and arise, go seek the asses. Okay, I read that to point to the fact that this was the Benjamite, son of Kish, and this is Saul. The Bible tells us, going forward, in chapter 10, verse 11, chapter 10 and verse 11, it says to us in 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 11, it says, and it came to pass when all that knew him before time saw, behold, he prophesied among the prophets, then the people said one to another, what is this that has come unto the son of what? Kish. Is Saul also among the prophets? Verse 21. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken, and Saul, the son of Kish, was taken, and when they sought him, he could not be found. Why? The Bible tells us he was hiding behind the staff. So we are very clear about Saul being the son of Kish and being a Benjamite. Now, as we explored this morning, Saul was given an assignment. And the assignment was to destroy the Amalekites. Now, the reason God wanted these Amalekites taken out was because they took advantage of the Israelites. When the Israelites were in the wilderness, heading out, they came to a place where they had no water. No water. And God did a miracle for them. God provided them water. But during that low point in the life of the Israelites, when they had already left the Amalekites alone, they took advantage of somebody that wasn't messing with them, and they went after the Israelites. Of course, they were defeated powerfully by God as the people were united. Joshua's battling with the Amalekites. Moses' hands were lifted up, and they won. But God said, you know what? These kind of people that take advantage of people and try to destroy them. They didn't look for your trouble. They were all so nice. He says, I want them wiped out. There are some kind of people that God just doesn't want around. People who take advantage of other people. He hates that. When somebody is down, don't go kicking them. In fact, God's word says, if I'm disciplining somebody and you start laughing, I will leave them alone and I'll come after you. Sounds like my father. In our home, if our father is disciplining somebody and you start, you know, chuckling and happy about it, you will be in the same mess. I upgraded that. I don't advise that you do this, but my children say that was the best thing I did for them. When I'm disciplining any one of them, if one of them gets into trouble, all of them are in trouble. And they all get disciplined. You say, that is not right. But you know what that did? It helped them to protect each other. It helped them to make sure that the other person doesn't get into trouble. Because if you get into trouble, I get into trouble. Well, you say, does God do the same thing? Yeah. Go to the book of Malachi. The book of Malachi, it's not everybody that's robbing God of their tithes and their offerings, but God says, all of you, all of you, this whole nation, and disciplined everybody, because God wants us to be a people that are together. Hello? Please get that. We are together. One man sinned, and everybody sinned. By one man's righteousness, everybody got declared righteous. But you have to lay claim to the righteousness of God. Praise the Lord. This morning we read that Haman, when he found out that Mordecai was a Jew, went not just after Mordecai, but after the Jewish people, all of them. What is the point? And especially now in the day and time that we live, you've got to understand that the attack on one of us is an attack on all of us. Please get that point. If anybody attacks a Catholic or a Methodist, attacks even any religious group, it's an attack on you. Get that point straight. Because after they finish with this group, they will go for the next. And if you don't stand your ground and say, no, you can't do that, you will be next. The enemy of your soul is not playing around. He is not just targeting one person, he's attacking everybody. When one in the body is sick, the Bible says the whole body is sick. If your pinky is hurting, it affects the whole part of you. Somebody listening? Don't lose the point. Don't lose the point. When we win together. When we lose together. I'd rather win with you and you win with me than we lose in anything. We win together. That's why the people of God need to congregate themselves together and be a place of sanctuary. When Haman was coming against the Jews, the word came from Mordecai in chapter 3 of Esther, starting to read from, I'll take it off from verse 14. Says the copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people that they should be ready against that day. There was a set day that they were going to attack the Jews and wipe them out. The Bible says, and the post went out being hastened by the king's commandment. The decree was given in Shushan the palace, and the king and Haman sat down to drink. The king and Haman sat down to drink. But the city Shushan was perplexed. Haman had everything in place. The city is perplexed by all of the actions that were taking place. They didn't know what to do, but the king is busy. He's okay. Haman, who plotted, is okay. They're both drinking. They're celebrating that they've signed a document for the destruction of the people called the Jews. And the Bible goes on to chapter 4 and tells us that when Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter voice. He had a cry. He was in much pain. For whom? Not just for himself, but for his people. He understood that the attack was against every one of them. Let's keep on to verse 13 of chapter 4. He says, then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. You need to understand that this attack is on all of us. And even though you are queen, this attack is going to come at you. The persecution is coming to you. You need to do something. You need to stop this attack. You need to be involved. You need to be engaged. The same is true to every one of us. If a brother is sick, don't put your nose up and say, well, if he knows how to pray better, if he knew more of the Word of God, if he fasted, he won't have this health issue. He won't have this financial issue. He will not have this marital problem. An attack on any marriage is an attack on your marriage. An attack on anybody else's finances in the body is an attack on your finances. Don't forget that. We are in this together, and we need to stand together as God's people and fight back and say, no, you're not going to do that. That's not going to happen here. You're not going to take out this brother. You're not going to take out this sister. You're not going to destroy this marriage, because if you do that, after you finish with them, you're going to come after mine. Is somebody listening? I hope you are, because I'm not just standing here talking to myself. Whenever you see a problem, know that problem is your problem. Don't be pointing your fingers at other people and thinking you're better than them. Better people have fallen under the snare of the enemy when they did not understand that an attack on one is an attack on all of us. Even the three musketeers understood that. One for all, and all for one. Nehemiah, building the walls, said, listen, while you're building in your quarter, If you hear the sound of the trumpet as an alarm, everybody show up where the sound is at. How is it that a pastor in this city is attacked spiritually, physically, emotionally, maritally, financially, or otherwise, and every other pastor stands and watches? If the enemy comes and kills one person's, somebody's wife, that must not happen. We stand together and say, no, 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 that must stop now. Because if you don't, it will be your wife or your husband next. The enemy kills somebody's child and you're watching. No, no, no. That is not acceptable. Because even though you don't think the attack is coming to you next, it's coming to visit you. The message I had for us this evening was totally different. But God is leading me in this direction. I don't know what is blowing in the wind. But whatever it is, we need to stand together. Praise the Lord. One of the things that caused the Roman army to be a mighty force is that the Roman army knew how to protect each other. They will lock their shields together, block the fiery flames coming, boom, they create a shield. Boom, everybody moving together in unison. And they shut down their enemy because they were like one man. The Lord speaks through an angel to Gideon. He says, you and the people that you're working with, you're going to be like one man. One man. In a few days, I'm going to be going out. You take the word of God to a particular nation, and you've heard me say it again and again, it is us. How many of you heard me say that? It is us. It's not just me. It's us. That means while I'm away, that you're on your knees just as much as I'm on my knees, and you're saying, Father, breakthroughs. Breakthroughs, breakthroughs, the sick healed, the everybody that is demonized, delivered, set free, breakthroughs, 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 in the authority, in the name of Jesus Christ, we do it together as one people. Hallelujah. From the youngest to the oldest, we have one voice, one word. We are one body, one people. The problem is that the church has not recognized that we are called to be one. Jesus said, our Lord said, I and the Father are one. We're not separate. We're one. In our usness, hallelujah, we are one. And as the church of Jesus Christ, in our usness, that's my new word, usness. We are one. We're not separate. We are one. One people. Because the enemy sees you and I as one. And he attacks from that perspective. But when we stand together in the unity of the Spirit, we begin to think as one people with one mind. And the Bible says, and they were in one place, in one accord. In one accord, not a hundred accord. Glory be to God. They were united. I'll be doing an ordination / anointing service for young men in this city sometime in April. And the Lord began to speak to me about something. He said to me, see that olive plant, olive tree, and I could see it in my mind's eye. Every olive is an individual olive fruit. I could see it. And then he said, but each one of those fruit do not make olive oil by itself. And I could see it. He says, son, tell me, when you bring all of those olive fruits together and you take it through its crushing process, the pressing process, can you tell me which olive fruit made that oil? I said, no. You cannot separate them? No. You cannot say, well, I think this olive fruit here made this drop. You cannot tell? I said, no. He says, that's what exactly I'm going to do in this last day. You will not be able to tell who produced what, because the oil is the oil of my anointing. And it's going to take every one of you flowing together to manifest my glory in these last days. I said, oh my. I was busy doing dishes and listening to the Holy Spirit teach me. Wow. Yeah. How good and how pleasant. The Hebrew word is the word tobeh. How good, tobeh. How pleasant, tobeh. So how good and how good. How pleasant and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the oil. The precious ointment upon the head. Yes, there's the head and there's the body. But this oil, it's like the oil. It's called unity. We are busy praying for more this, more that, more this. And I'm praying, you praying, and you praying, and we praying. And everybody's praying for themselves to receive more anointing. And God says, no, the power of the anointing is in unity. It's in unity when we walk together in love and we have a common purpose and recognize that the God we serve is a God for us all. One God, one faith, one baptism. We're not separate. We're one. Oh, this person attends that church. When I and Mama first came to this country in the 80s, early 80s, 81 we got here, there were hardly any black folks in this city. Very, very few. I venture to say maybe there were 200, maybe 300. And anytime you see a black person, oh, brother, hi. Oh, because everybody else was white. We celebrated each other. All of a sudden, we knew we were, oh, that's like me. It's not a racial thing. It's just the way it was. The other day, I rented a vehicle in Toronto. It was a Volkswagen, whatever. Do you know, all this while, I've been driving, not only in this city, but in other places, I hardly noticed Volkswagens. All of a sudden, every other car I saw was a Volkswagen. Because I was in one, and therefore there was a point of reference and identity. I began to notice what I was driving in. Are you with me so far? Has that happened to you? Growing up, you see little ones, you know, say, let's count all the red cars. And all of a sudden, they start seeing red cars. Or yellow. Or all of a sudden, they start seeing yellow. While they are looking at red, they didn't see the yellow. But as soon as they shifted to yellow, every other car was a yellow car. I dare you to go out there and see yellow cars. But as soon as you start looking for a yellow car, you start seeing them. You say, Pastor, what does this have to do with oneness? What I'm saying, I'm still saying the same thing. When you have a sense of oneness in God, that begins to be the drive and passion of your life. You start seeing it. You don't see the differences anymore. You see what is common to both of you. And what is that? That Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. I don't care about your theology. You Jehovah's Witness? Okay, I think you have lots of errors. But do you believe that it is in the name of Jesus Christ that you can be saved? Yes, I believe that. Okay, you're my brother then. We'll figure out the others later. We'll find out that you were wrong when we get over to the other side. But for right now, what is important is that you believe that Jesus is Lord. Or I don't believe that he's God. It doesn't matter whether you believe that he's God. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe that his shed blood is what gets you to salvation? Yes, I believe that. Okay, so whether you believe that he's God or don't believe that he's God, whatever it is that you want to believe, believe whatever, we'll find out whether you're right or wrong. Is somebody listening? Because you and I are coming to that place because the enemy is coming for you. The enemy is coming for you. And if you don't learn how to put your shields together, the adage, divide and conquer, will be the language and the experience of many. The enemy wants to divide and conquer. He wants to divide in the church. Oh, men should not wear long hair. Come on. Samson had long hair, didn't have it cut. So we're going to fight about that now. Women should not have short hair. We're going to fight about that. We wear earrings or don't wear earrings. We're going to fight about that. Oh, this man is wearing a nose ring. Is that what we're going to fight about? Well, the fact is, in the Bible, there were men that had earrings and nose rings and whatever kind of rings. In fact, some of those rings were used to build the stuff in the tabernacle. Excuse me, please. There are things that are more important than you sweating over things that are totally irrelevant.
There's an enemy that wants us to lose. But we're going to make the decision, the oil of the anointing is going to rest upon my life and rest upon the lives of God's people, and we, the people that know God, shall do exploits. And we come from all kinds of races and tribes. Praise the Lord. We are the body of Christ. What is really important? We've got to go to the foundational point. Jesus. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. No one comes to the Father except by Him. Hold on to that foundational truth. And anyone who holds on to that foundational truth is part of the family. I may not like everything that they teach, but as long as it doesn't mess with that foundational truth, we're okay. I may not drink from the same place you're drinking from, because I don't know what you have inside your drink. But this is a foundational truth. And I cannot afford to be fighting against my brother. Do you know what the Word of God says? He says that the people were building together. And God said, as long as these people are united, there is nothing they cannot accomplish. Is that in the Bible? And so God did the divide and conquer. He did it with the speaking of tongues. Everyone started speaking and nobody understood each other, and they all separated and scattered all over the place. But as long as they had one voice, there was nothing they could not do. The agenda of the enemy is to separate us. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that vision. I don't think the gospel should be preached that way. You know what Paul said? He said some people preach the gospel just to hurt me. They preach it to do all kinds of crazy stuff. Some people preach it with the right motivation. He says, but it doesn't matter. Whichever way you're preaching it, whether you're preaching it so that I can be hurt or whatever, he says, as long as Jesus is being preached, we are okay. Is that not what he says? Is that in the Bible? That's the point. That's the point. We correct. We try to convince people to think differently, to act differently, but we have to start from the fundamental truth of Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. You start from there. No one comes to the Father except by Him. He is the only way. It is not the way plus. If you have a plus, then we're not in the same route. I'm not saying we accept everything. I'm just saying, we've got to know what we are about. Now, that does not mean that if they are attacking Hindus, that I don't stand with them and say, no, you cannot do that. Or attacking the Buddhists, that I don't say, no, you can't do that. They're attacking this particular race. You can't do that. The Jews were being attacked. Haman was after them. And somebody had to stand with them and say, no, you can't do that. And the legislation and decree from the king, which was not reversible, said that they could be killed and taken out. It can't be reversed. Everything was locked against the Jews. Every direction they looked, nothing was working. But God had an ace in the hole. And he'd been working it. He had made it possible for Vashti to resist the invitation of Ahasuerus. He was in it. He was in it when the princes said, we cannot allow this to happen. Because if it happens here, it's going to happen to all of us. Are we together so far? You thought I lost my way. We cannot let this just stay like this. We got to deal with this problem. And God was in it. When she was out, God was in it for Hadassah, Esther, to find favor in the sight of Haggai and to get the best training, the best perfume, the best whatever. God was in it. And when it was time for her to come up to play, she is told, don't you think that you hiding behind those nice doors, sitting on that high chair, is going to keep you from this problem? And the woman got it. You know what? I'm going to go on a fast. And guess what she said? And tell everybody else for the next 3 days not to eat or drink. We are in this what? Together. Together. Don't ever miss the opportunity to be part of what God is doing. Don't ever miss that opportunity. Because if you are not engaged with it, you don't get to benefit from it. Let me use a very crude illustration. A very, very crude illustration. Just assume that in your office, they decide that they were going to don't do this. I'm just using it as a point of reference, okay? There is this mega lottery for $1 billion. $1 billion. And everybody, they put in their pennies together to buy this ticket to get that $1 billion in your office. But you didn't add any penny to that amount. Are you with me so far? And they happened to win the $1 billion. And you say, I'm in this office, but you didn't put your money in there. Will anybody give you a dime? Are you qualified? No. It will take the goodness of their heart to say, well, okay, yeah, we'll give you $1,000. But their $1 billion, they will celebrate with it. Now, that's not the best illustration for a pastor to be giving to you, but it's the best illustration for you to understand what I'm talking about. If you don't participate, you don't get the benefits. So I'm not talking about oneness only from the negative aspect of you standing together to fight against a force, but the benefit of receiving. When God blesses, He blesses all. You know, watch this. He gives His rain to the good and the bad. The sun, because God thinks in terms of together. And if you want to be God-like in your thinking, you have to have a more than me, myself, and I mentality. Yeah. If a ministry is doing a work in this city, if there's a way for me to participate and plug in somehow to be a blessing, that is, and I know about it, I should help. Many times, people want to use our facility. It is easy for us to give a big bill and say, well, you got to pay this and you got to pay that and you got to pay this and pay that. But most of the time, if they're doing what God has called them to do, that's the place. Go use it. How much is it? So that's not good business. No, it's about togetherness. I remember so well, just down the street here, this a building, a banquet hall called Holy Ghost Fraternal something, Aid Society. We used to use their basement. We used it for about 6 or 8 months. And then a new board came in and they kicked us out. They said they don't want church in their building. And I won't go through all the details. Anyhow, a week before that happened, I was driving down Henderson Highway, and I saw a building that I had not seen. I've been in this city for many years. And that building was not just built, it had always been there. It was called John Black United Church on Henderson Highway. I'm driving and I see this building. Don't know why I saw it, but I saw it. I said, wow. Never seen that building all these years. It's amazing. I continue. When we got kicked out from that particular Holy Ghost Fraternal Aid, can you imagine Holy Ghost Fraternal Aid? I didn't know where to go. And God reminded me, John Black United Church, I showed it to you. Oh. Called the pastor, picked up the phone. I looked through the, in those days we had yellow pages. In a few years, the younger ones will know what yellow pages are. Do you know what yellow pages is? No, she doesn't. I found the name, I called,
talked to the pastor, told him what my problem was. He said, well, we have services at the same time that you do. But if you want, you can have a time in the afternoon from 12:30 to whatever, 2 o'clock, something like that. I said, yes, of course, we'll take it. So we went there, attended, did our services. At the end of the month, I said, how much do we owe you? And the pastor said, nothing. You don't owe me anything. I said, but we've been using this place. He said, no, it's fine. It's okay. That was a United Church. And we used the building for a month or two, or something like that, and didn't have to pay anything. Oh, amazing. Amazing. Why? He felt, we're doing the same thing. Oh, those United Church people, they're very liberal. They allow all kinds of nonsense. I don't want to be contaminated. Oh, defiled. Oh, right, really? 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 And that's how we act so many times. We don't see. Oh, they may be liberal, but they still believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Let's just take that now and connect with that. I don't like everything else that they do, but one thing is clear. They believe in God. Now, the United Church that doesn't believe in God, doesn't want anything to do with Jesus Christ, think that they want to worship some goddess, whatever. We don't have anything in common. But those that have the point of commonality, we've got to stand together. Stand together. Find out. The Bible says, love covereth a multitude of sin. Is that what the Word of God says? Yeah. And love is about our unity. There is a common enemy. That enemy must not be you. That enemy must not be me. What God calls us to do is to link our hands together as a united force and be the people of God. As you step out, understand that we are one race, the human race. Hello? And the people out there, they are your brothers and they are your sisters. And they deserve to know the love of God. They deserve to know the truth. They deserve to hear the language of God's love for them. They don't deserve hell. They've been made worthy to step across from hell and step into heaven. And the connecting point that will translate them from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son is the proclamation of the message, the gospel of truth. Just love people. Just love people. When you love people and you see people and say, hey, this is a human being, they don't deserve to go to hell, you will tell them the love of God. You share the love of God with them.
I wrap up with this. I was visiting with a dear friend, a Jewish brother. They've gone through some stuff in their lives that was very difficult, to say the least. While we're visiting, Mama and I were visiting, they started sharing about some individual from another country. And their friend told them about this particular individual. And this person earns like $1 or $2 a day and has a family. She's working herself through whatever she needs to work herself through, and she got bumped up to about $3 or $4 a day. We're hearing this story. Wow, it's amazing. So we did something about it. We gave a love gift. To this guy, to give to the friend, who in turn sent that love gift to this particular individual in that country. Now, if you earn in that amount of money a day, and you got an amount that was worth your month or 2 months' wages, you're rich. I mean, if you can understand that, well, those of us here, you know, you think welfare is, people on welfare here, compared to some other countries, are millionaires. They're wealthy. So we forgot about it until we got this card. Oh, thank you so very much, blah, blah, blah. Oh, that person made a video and to say thank you. Oh, why did we do it? Because we are one. Even though I've not seen this person, that does not mean I cannot feel their pain and their struggle. When you have an opportunity to be of help, help. Hello? It's love people. That's what we're called to do. Because we have one common enemy. Who is it? The devil. The devil is Haman. Satan and all his cohorts, that's Haman. And Haman, the devil, is destroying lives. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And guess what he says right after he says that? Let me wrap up with that. Could you give me 1 John 3, I think 1 John 3, 8? Just give me that. He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was what? Manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil, which is the work of sin. Amen? Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth what? Loveth what? Not his brother. You don't love your brother? God says you are just like the devil. For this is a message. that you heard from the beginning, that we should what? Love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. The world is going to hate you. So don't be surprised about that. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. The proof that you are saved, the proof that you are a new creation, the proof is that you love the brethren. You see them as you, and you as them. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. You abide in death, and the wages of sin is death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for what? Us. The us is all of us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we ought to what? Lay down our lives for the brethren. This is not just about me, myself, and I. This is about us. Amen? It's us. We are together in this thing. We need to walk in love, invest together in love, give together in love. Maybe somebody else will do it. No, it's not. There's nobody else doing it. You. In the world of somebody is going to do it, we'll end up with nobody doing it. We need to compete to overwhelm each other with our loving kindness. That's what the Word of God says. You know, people say it this way. They say, I love you, and I sent a note to a dear man of God, a friend of mine, a great giant general in the faith. I said, I love you. I celebrate you. And he says, his response is, I love you more. I said, well, if we keep on this one, we're going to keep on. Oh, no, I love you more than you love me. And he's going to respond too until somebody has to quit. Well, that's what we need to do. Just love. And when we love that way, we don't start becoming suspicious of each other. You know, there's something I want to do for somebody. And every time I want to do it, I start thinking, I say, what are they going to think if I do this? Are they going to think that I'm trying to say this? But all it is God saying to me, I want you to give this person, this family, this. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And it doesn't matter what anybody has to say about it. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it today, tonight. Amen? I'm not going to second guess myself, because it's like 4 or 5 months now that it's been in my spirit to do this one thing. But how are they going to think about what I'm trying to do? I'm not going to do that no more. I'm just going to do what I got to do, because I'm not going to shortchange myself. Because you know what? You know what the Word of God says? And I repent. The Word of God says, love thinketh not evil. Just do what you got to do. And don't think for people what you think they are going to think. That's what I've been doing. And I repent of that in Jesus' name. Amen? Praise God. Well, saints, I thank God for the privilege to share the Word of God with us this evening. Well, I see verse 17 of 1 John 3, so I'm just going to read this. And it says, "But whosoever hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" Do we get the point? Wow, I can't believe that I've been speaking that long, just trying to get one point across. But it is well. Rise with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your authority. Thank you, Lord, O God, for your word spoken into our spirit. Let this word, O God, just penetrate through the spiritual atmosphere and touch your sons and your daughters wherever they are, that we may be our people that understand the power of unity, the oil of your unction, the oil of your power flowing in and through us and impacting our world. Blessed be your holy name. Let every need be met, and let your glory be manifest in us and through us. We repent before you for every act of unrighteousness, and we declare in Jesus' name, let thy kingdom come, O Most High, and let your will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Blessed be your holy name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. God is good all the time. Let us honor God with our giving. Let's participate as God's people. The Word of God says, let us not just love in word, but let us love in deed and in truth. Praise God. Amen. Let God's peace garrison your heart. And remember that we are one people under his lordship. I encouraged us this morning that on this ministry trip that we need to raise funds for 200 buses to help bring people 5 kilometers and up to the crusade grounds. And if God speaks to you, then I want you to engage. Each bus costs $100. Say, well, Pastor, I don't have $100. Maybe you have $50. Get half a bus. Get a quarter of a bus, if that is sacrificial for you. But let everybody give sacrificially. Give, invest. Amen? Invest. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Do something. Do something. Engage. Because the harvest that is going to come forth, you will participate in the crowns and the stars as God calls you. It's not just me going out there. I may be the person standing in front and speaking to those masses of people. But you are part of it. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Brother Moses, come and close in prayer.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for the opportunity to listen to your word. We thank you for adding a blessing to the reading of the scriptures today. Lord, that as we have learned your word, we will not just be hearers alone, but we will also be doers of your word. It says that let the world see Jesus through our eyes, that we should show them love that they cannot deny. So Lord, as we leave here today, we will show the world love that they cannot deny, so that they will see Jesus in our eyes. And maybe in doing so, people will turn to the Lord. Maybe in doing so, people will change their ways. Maybe in doing so, we will cause change in the world. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that as we go this week, we go before you. Or we go after you, Heavenly Father. You are going and you're arranging our path, Lord. You are ordering our steps this week in the name of Jesus, that your word will continue to resonate in our hearts, Lord, that as whatever we do, we will continue to think of togetherness in the name of Jesus, that as we speak, we will speak with togetherness. We will live with a perfect heart in the name of Jesus. Lord, you said that we should continue to work it the same way that you did. Lord, you showed love. Lord, you showed compassion. And as we live here today, to our brothers, to our sisters, even to those we do not know, we will show compassion in the name of Jesus. Lord, that we thank you that the words that are coming into this house, Lord, that it would bless nations in the name of Jesus. It says, in the city of Ephesus, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So we decree today that in the city of Winnipeg, so mightily would the word of God grow and prevail in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.